Okay, guys. So yesterday we started Schora. Now again, we're doing it, and I think, you know, depending on as people come in sick and stuff like that, it's probably a good idea we'll do it this way. We'll continue to follow the sheets, and then we'll come back to we'll go through the seventh Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. Even though, to be fair, the Yerushalmi doesn't talk about it too much, and we'll do some of the other halacha in the eighth Perek, which I think are fascinating. Chet Hey. Chet Dalet, I think maybe we'll run through, but most of Chet Dalet is about Bishul Akum. But Chet Hey is really fascinating. And Bishul Akum is interesting, but that's not what most halacha is about. Most of it is about, it goes on an aside, a grammatical aside, of the halachot that are called the halachot shel im'um. Okay? Yeah, that are basically unclear. And then goes through a bunch of examples, of which one is Bishul Akum. So it's, whatever. Not the point. But what we were dealing with was the issue of Schora. So again, just to review what we did yesterday, we have this drasha, lachla velo l'schora. And in order to understand its nature, we have to both understand what it applies to and its kryptonite, what it doesn't apply to. So the classic case that we were addressing is the case in the Mishnah and the Gemara about an esrog. Right, where an esrog, which is a fruit, you cannot sell. So how are you going to buy arba minim? This will be a problem next year. What? No. This is potentially a problem in America also, right? Because a lot of the esrogim come from America. So dafka, one of the few times that you deal with it in America are etrogim and wine, right? Even though you're not supposed to export, they do sometimes export, don't it? I think maybe the year after Shemitah, a lot of American places don't get it from Israel for that reason, because you're not really supposed to export Shemitah things, right? And then it gets tricky. But I'm not actually 100% sure about that. I think you can get it. A lot of times what you do is you do closed box, right? That, if I remember from last Shemitah, if you get it from Israel, what you do is you do closed box, right? Because this way you're not buying the esrog, you're buying a sed, or you're paying for the work, right? You're doing it, but you're not paying for this particular esrog, right? Anyways, so the Gemara says you have two options, right? Either you get the guy to give you the esrog for free, and if not, you're mavliya damav in the lulav, right? And the Gemara said, but how can you do that? Isn't a problem of moser demei shvid la'am Haaretz, right? So first of all, we asked within Mavliya, does Mavliya mean that you're not paying for the esrog, right? Or it means you're paying for the esrog, but not for the esrog by itself, right? Meaning, are you not paying for the esrog in scare quotes, right? Or are you paying for the esrog, but not the esrog alone, and that's fine, right? We need to figure that out. The second thing was, why does the Gemara seem to not raise the problem of Schora? It seems to raise the problem of Demei Peretria. So yesterday we focused on Rashi, who just equates it, right? They're the same thing. And then Rashi says a bunch of words that sort of jumble together and no one really has any idea what they mean. Mimachilat kvodeo, right? Look, Rashi is normally the epitome of clarity. In this one, he's very clear to the point where no one has any idea what he's talking about. In each one, everyone has a very strong position about what Rashi means. What we saw is that, we saw four explanations of Rashi, many of which assume that Schora, what it came down to is that Schora is not really an intrinsic problem, right? That's the common denominator between most of them, is that Schora is not an intrinsic problem. Schora is a problem because either it's a gzera, so that you won't end up using the money improperly, or the payrot improperly, or it's exera because you might not perform biur, which is an even more limited position. And therefore, schora and the yisur of ein moshin demei payrot shviyed lamaretz are really equivalent, because in both cases, yes, wash your hands from that, they're sticky, right? Right, the problem really with schora is that you're going to end up misusing it. That's the problem with giving it to an amar. It's not an intrinsic problem. And then we saw variations, right? According to the Nitziv, the issur schora is on all fruit of shviyat. Gzera, you might not be mivare, you might not treat it properly. According to Pnei Yeshua, it's really only on the fruit which there's a chiyuv biur. But in fact, there's no issur schora at all on things which actually have to do with per shviyat, but don't have a chiyuv biur, like the cases that are listed later in the parak. Earlier, in the previous paragraph, rather. Now, according to the Tziv and the Pnei Yoshua, It does seem to me that if you do business with Peir Shviat, you violate the Gzeira or whatever it is, even if it doesn't end up getting misused, right? Because, but it's still only a Gzeira atu something else. The Rabbeinu Yonatan actually seems to say, no, you don't violate unless it ends up being misused. And then we said the Ritva, who says a little bit differently, and he says, no, the Yisrshara only applies in cases in which you are not, you're selling the Perishvi for something which itself cannot be transformed into something with Kedushat Shviit. But therefore, and that's why in this particular case where you're selling it for money, and money can always be transferred, so it's not a violation of Schora, it's only a problem of Moser Demei Perot Shviit Lama Aretz. But if you were to, let's say, use Perot Shviit to buy work, right, to pay for work, to pay for services rather than goods, then in fact it would be a violation of the Yisur Schora. But again, for him, right now, for the first three positions, Yisur Schora is just ensuring that Peir Shviat are treated properly. The Ritva is the one that focuses very much on Achila. Right? That the only thing, the Yisur Schora is really literally another way of saying there's a chiyuv to eat it, right? Or a mitzvah to eat it, or something to eat it. And therefore, the only time you violate it, right, but he has an expansive understanding, which is, if you are going to sell Peir Shviat in such a way that what? That it could, in theory, be used to buy Peir Shviat, then it's not the Yisur Schora, right? It might be that in a case when you sell that which could, in theory, be used for Peir Shviat, but it's not going to because you're giving to an Amaretz, you violate the Derab, right, the extension of that, which is Ein Moser and Peir Shviat, Dmei Peir Shviat, Lamaretz. But since in theory it could be, you therefore were not mechalel the kedusha, right? You didn't void the possibility, and therefore it's not schora. And for him, and as I mentioned, if you look in the Archavot, right, of the right, and or you look back in that tshuva that we saw from Reb Uzner, right, Rashi really becomes an extreme in this case of the idea that there really is a mitzvah peretriyat, because for him everything is a derivative, right? Everything is a derivative. Okay, so that's where we left off with Rashi. What I want to do today is definitely Tosos and ideally Tosos and the Rambam. Yes? Okay. So Tosos says something amazing. Okay? As we will see, and you see here from the heading, Tosfot ties the Isser of Schora to harvesting. Now, to remind ourselves, when we were doing the Chiyuv Achila, if there is a mitzvah chila, chiyuv achila, whatever it might be. So remember, we saw the Ramban, as understood by the Maharit, that there's a mamish, a mitzvah to eat Peir Shviat, right? Then we saw the opposite extreme, the Chazanish. There's no mitzvah, there's no value, there's no nothing, don't get it, no one ever said it, never happened, right? Never, right? Then we suggested the possibility that maybe, right, it's the purpose of the mitzvah to shvita, but it's not a mitzvah itself. That was my suggestion, right, to explain certain sugyot. We saw different variations, but one of the variations that we saw was, well, what we know that there is in Peir Shviat is an Isser of Ktsira, right? There's an Isser of certain agricultural work in the field, right? What exactly the Mozlochot are is a Machloket, right? For those of you who do Dafyomi, who's doing Dafyomi? You start, you're caught up? Okay, well, Moed Katan is great because you'll see the first few Dapim, besides for everything we did on Tosevet Shviat, you will discover there the machloket about what Melachot are Asur in Shviat. I was, when I was leaving Shul yesterday, my Shviat Chavrusa, my Yerushalmi Shviat Chavrusa, came over to me and said, he also teaches Daf Yom, and he's like, hey, right, it's all the Sugyot we were doing, right? It's all the Daf Yomi Sugyot are now talking about what Melachot are Asur. So that's unquestionable. There's certain Melachot that are Asur of Peirot, during Shemitah, right? So, if you remember, Rabbi Yochel Fisher Perlaw said that, right, exactly, that it's not stam, that there's an Isser of harvesting, there's an Isser of whatever, of plowing, if there's an Isser of plowing, or whatever, planting, right, pruning, whatever gets in that, and all the Darabonans that are listed in the second paragraph. There's a context to that. It's only Usser from a certain vantage point, right, with a certain perspective. And that is, if you're doing it for the improper purposes, for schora and the like, right, everything is a derivative, right? And la'achila if you're going to eat it, that makes it the right type of harvesting and the like. Now, once you say something like that, right, so obviously, schora, right, and this was already what we saw in Rechon Vishal Perla, is itself a derivative of the proper context in which you're allowed to or not allowed to do agricultural work, okay? This seems to emerge from Tosfot, okay? So if you look at Tosfot here on the top of page 4, Tosfot says, "Relative ledemei etrog behedya, why don't you just pay for the etrog?" So he says, "Meza tamin rai shai leloko, why is it not mutar to buy? Ti mishum de asur la asot schora beperot shviit. If you're going to tell me that it's asur to do business with perot shviit, lo chashiv schora, ela kihi da masechet shviit perek zayin, lo yelkech yirakot sadam mocher bashuk, avu loke duvino mocher al yado. It's only asur, like in that case in perek zayin, mifne gimel, which again, in the Yerushalmi, this is all Zion Aleph. It's all one big thing. So we're going to see it, right? Once we do all this, right, this is one of those times we're going to do the sugya, and then we're going to read the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi is pretty sparse, right? But we'll read it, and we'll fill in some things, and then maybe we'll take a day. One of the sugyas there is whether there is an Isser in general to sell Usser, to benefit from selling us, like, not kosher food, right? Because this is the main sugya. Not just in Yerushalmi. It happens to be that La Halacha, one of the major questions in Yerushalmi, in Halacha, is how much we rely on it. Like La Halacha. Okay. So he says, right, that the only time is when you pick fruit and sell them in the market. But if you pick and your son sells, it's fine. Or Lakach Lasmavotir, or if you left over, you bought and left over, you're also allowed to sell. Mutar Limkor, Perush. So how does he understand that halacha, right? That halacha exists. The Mishnah says that there is a, if you pick for yourself, you can sell the extra, right? I thought I needed 5 oranges, I need 3 oranges, I can sell the other 2. That's mutter, right? Again, we're going to have to explain this. But that's evidence one. The second is this weird case of your son, okay? So he says, Tosfos looks and he says, what does that mean, right? This is the kryptonite. Right, Tosfos is understanding kryptonite. The Superman here is, these are schora, and now these are the cases that are exceptions to the rule. So how does he understand that? What does he tell us about Perot Shviit? So he says, Kishemocher bashuk hu, halokeit atzmo usur. When you sell in the field, when you sell it, rather, the person who picked it, it's usur. Dililakeit lachla amarachmana. You're only allowed to pick to eat, velo lilkot l'schara, but you can't pick to do business. Dahainu limkor, meaning to sell. Aval hu loket uveno mocher al yado, but you can pick and your son can sell. Lo chashiv schara, because it is not schara, it's not merchandise. Kevan dehu lo liktem. Now this particular Tosfos is a little bit crazy, right? Because Tosfos literally seems to say that if I pick it, right, he doesn't qualify. He doesn't say if I pick it, I'll deny that Meir goes and sells it in the field, or sells it in the market, that it's usher, right? He doesn't say that. He just says if I pick it and my son sells it, it's allowed. Because Meir wasn't the one who both sold it and picked it. That's mutter. Tosfos Rosh says the same thing. It's not schora if you weren't the one who picked it. Okay. Why, in the name of God, does the fact that you are, again, if he had said, yeah, so the simple pshat is exactly what Josh just said, is that I could go to your field and sell it. Right, I could just go to your, right? Give it to you. Meaning, here's what we would do, right? Shlomo, you pick everything in my field, I'll pick everything in your field, and we'll swap and we'll sell. Yalla! Business time! That's where we're going to make money in Shviit. And it's great, it's hefker, right? Or, forget our fields. Shlomo, you take that block, take everybody's food, right? Right? And give it to me, and I'll sell it, and I'll take that whole side, right? Right, we'll take a truck, right, and we'll sell it, right? We'll be millionaires. We didn't have to do any work. All we needed to do was the first night when it's harvestable, we come in with a truck, right? It's great, right? No one else had a chance. Mutter. I mean, it's crazy. So where would, but how would you get to something like that? So as, right, if you look here, as right, Daniel points out, right, but the Rav says it, even though he doesn't connect it to Rechav Fisher Perla, but he says the same. Svara, this only begins to make sense if you poshkin like a Rechav Fisher Perla.
The way that you use it qualifies how you
kind of... Exactly, right? He says, right, so look at his summary. It's just helpful, right? He says, we learned from Rechav Fisher Perla that Haomer Shedrasha right, the Isser, the drasha of la'achla v'lo la'ex is not its own drasha. Ella min lamdim et gidreya itzor lo tiktor. It sheds light on the nature of the agricultural prohibitions. Hatorah tzitza lo tiktor. The Torah said don't harvest. Mitzad sheni omerit v'aytasha v'arz lachem la'achla. But it says you can eat, which means you are allowed to harvest. Because, you know, it obviously can't mean that if I want to eat, I have to, you know, stand on a chair to eat those... whatever those things are on that tree over there, whatever those are, those, which for all I know are poisonous, I have no idea, right? Then they're not poisonous, or maybe that's why they're sick. I don't know. Okay, I don't know, right? Ha'em mutar l'ktzor, ha'tshuva hishim mutar l'ktzor kol d'ktzira na'aseit l'shem achila. It's mutter as long as you're picking for eating. Misha kotzer u'mocher, but if you pick and sell, or kotzer u'mashchit, and you pick and destroy, in overall. You don't violate a positive commandment of eating. So therefore, Tosfot says, if you are not the same person, right, who picked it, so then, yalla, right, it's fine. And this is how the Rav takes it. The Rav doesn't quote Rechav Fisher Perla. This is how he explains to us. Let's look at the Rav. This is the Rishim HaShiurim. The Rishim HaShiurim are literally what it sounds like. You know what a Rishim... right, the Rishom is, right, to, like, take notes, right? So the Rishimot are just transcribed and edited notes from the Rav Shurim by Rabbi Reichman. Okay? So, but they're very good. Yeah, you know, it's very good. Yeah, you know, it's very nice. He has it on Batu Masechta. They've been putting out, slowly, they've been putting out more Masechta. So he says, Nire, disvirale di iser haschora. According to Tosfot, the prohibition of merchandise, din bilakitot peirashviyah, is a halacha in the picking of the fruit. Vidinhu beashviyah tishmeteno nitashta. It's a halacha in, during Shemitah, you should be mafkirit. Lo tiktor, don't harvest. Yesh lilkot ulekatser et peirashviyah minatara, dafka lachil av lolaschora. You should pick it for eating and not for merchandise. And picking for the sake of selling is usher. The whole of the ikra iser hu bilakita. And since the iser is not on the selling itself, it's on what it reflects on the picking. Rakim alokate atzmo. It says chora, only if the picker himself, the harvester himself, does the business. Usher. The maisis chor shilish acher and misar v'lakita shalom. Because someone else's picking can't combine, someone else's selling can't combine with my... right. Someone else is selling can't connect to my harvesting. Okay. Now this sounds a little bit crazy, but watch what Tosfos does. So this sounds crazy because I mean, really, like, what about the case that I just said with Shlomo, where Shlomo and I, you know, we want to be wholesalers, right? We just, right. So Tosfos raises the possibility. And he's not even sure of this. V'efshar hakona mechaveiro kidei laharviach vilinkor biyoker haynu nayin schora. It's possible that if you are a retailer, that you buy wholesale for the express purpose of selling at a higher price, that's also called sara. It's possible that being a retailer who bought from a wholesaler is usser. And the Mishnah, as we will see at the beginning of the seventh parak, says you're not allowed to do business with all these forbidden stuff. Shemitah, but also not kosher food and bugs and stuff like that. They're not all the same. Raises the possibility that Schora might also be an independent Isser if it's very, very, very commercial. He's not even convinced, right? But he thinks that there might be a second avenue, and this will connect to what we see in the Rambam, that Schora is intrinsically Usser. But he's not sure. It might be that if you are a retailer that buys from wholesale with the express purpose of making money off of Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's Usser. Maybe. Why? Hainu time and because there are two Bashanamars and Israel law. Now Tosus comes back to our sugya. So why does it say that Ain Moshe and Demei Perish Fiat Amarez and not Schora? Says to there are a lot of things that Amarez just don't care about, aren't careful about. Liknot ben Bematmeav, Adam Hakarkar, Chaluk, Vitalud, Minalem, right? They might buy not kosher food with it, they might buy shoes, clothes, whatever. They know them, Lulabayer, Vilabam, Losab, and Losapar, Shviat, Achilo, Shtiel, Sikh, Loshadram. I mean, you can't give it to anything which is not food, which is Chehei. Vazlo from Encholo, you can't pay off your debts, which is Chet Vav, I think. And he says, you're right, it's not, why according to him, is giving it to the Amar, it's not an Isser Schora? Because you're not the same person. So, is that the Siyum or is that birthday? Or both? What? Purim? Oi, that was terrible. What? Well, it's Purim because of that annoying song of Vigam, 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 Vigam. Okay. Fine.
Well, we are finishing Kriyat Megillah.
Right now, according to this, right, Rashi, the Isser, what comes out is that the Isser of giving it to Amaretz is at least a Gzera of Schora, right? Right, somehow related. According to Tosfot, it's not. But these are two completely different things. According to him, there is no Schora possible in such a case because the person who harvested is not the person who's selling it. The only problem is that he might misuse it, right? Okay. That's two. Now, the amazing thing is that, you know, all of this is counterintuitive. The simple shot of the Isser of Schora is... Thank you. Yes. The simple pshat of Isser Schora is, as Eli said, it's usher to do Schora. And why is it usher to do Schora, Eli? Because you're not treating it like Hefker. You know, how did everybody forget this? Right? The problem of, right, payroll treat are supposed to be Hefker. Last I checked, Hefker things, you don't make huge businesses of Hefker. That's not how these works. Right? Because you make a few dollars. Right? I didn't think about it. Right? You don't see most, your average well-to-do middle-class, upper-middle-class rich person saying, I have a great idea of how I'm going to be rich. The best way to get rich is by things that are Hefker. So I'm going to go to the recycling bin and take everything and get the nickel, right? You see people who are desperate doing that, right? Right? People who are poor and are desperate, so then they make a business of things that are Hefker, right? And they get the 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever it is, on the recycling refund, right? It's just not the type of thing, right? Hefker, there isn't a huge market for things that are Hefker, right? There just isn't. I mean, I understand. Maybe once in a while, I mean, sure, you're swimming, you're scuba diving, and bimikre, you see a clam that has a pearl, right, in it that's a perfect pearl. So sure, you got something which is Hefker. I mean, it's possible that something could be Hefker and be worth a lot of money, but that usually the things that are Hefker, like, that's not, that's just not what it is, right? That's not even make business. This seems to be the Shita of the Rambam. Seems to be, right? That there really is such a thing as an Isser Schora, and it's about the way you relate to what should be ownerless. Okay? So if you look at the Rambam says, Ein Ozen Schora Beper Tzviat. Don't do business with Shemitah produce. V'imrata limkor me'at miperet shviat mocher. And if you want to sell a little bit, you're allowed to. Okay?
So it's about the number that you sell.
So watch. And then he says, the Rambam continues, Kikshem sha'asr lazot schora beperet shviat. just like it's usher to do business with Peir Shviit, Baruch Rofei Cholim. O l'shamran kach usher ligach ma'aretz l'vishen moshin d'mei Shviit l'ma'aretz v'afilu kol shehu. So what does the Rambam say? Just, let's get the facts on the table. According to the Rambam, how does he explain the connection between the Isser Schora and the Isser of giving Peirut Shviyah to an Amaretz? It's very simple. According to him, Schora is mutter in small quantities, right? Meaning selling in small quantities doesn't violate the Isser Schora, right? But even in such a case where it's mutter, you can't give it to an Amaretz, because the Amaretz is not going to treat it because you shvi it, right? So factually, it's actually very smooth, right? He's saying, you can't sell large quantities, that's schora. If you sell small quantities, it's mutter from the vantage point of schora, but you can't do an Amaretz because he will misuse the money or misuse the payroll. And therefore, you come back to our sugya with the etrog. So why, according to him, does the Gemara only raise the problem of ein mosrin demei payroll shvi it when selling a single etrog? Because not schora, right? Right? So the only problem is that you're giving it to an Amaretz. Okay. Why? What is the svara for the idea that the Isser Schora is usher only in large quantities? What's the svara? Say it again. So which one do you mean? The first, you said two things, respectful or businesslike? Okay, good. Right, so I think the simplest shot, right, is what Ellie said, right? The Rambam very plausibly, right, means what Ellie said, which is, listen, the whole Torah is you're not supposed to treat it as a commodity. If you're selling it in small quantities, you're not really. Meaning it's, whatever, it's not really business. That's like something else, right? It's not, you sell it as a wholesaler, you sell it at a store, that's already merchandise. Now, Josh already has a kasha and he says, wait a minute. No, just because you're weighing it, that's not a lot. That'd be a lot. It could be a pound, 2 pounds, not a lot. Okay, I thought you were gonna ask a different question, which is the classic Josh question, which is, yeah, well, a lot, a little, I mean, well, what's the difference, right? Meaning it sounds very nice, right? One way of understanding the Rambam is the way that Ellie says it, which is merchandise is usher because you're treating it as an owner. If you do that in a big quad, right, that's your profession, I mean that's problematic. You sell a little bit here, there. I mean, whatever. I mean, you're still hefker, right? And Josh comes in and says, I don't understand. Either it is or it isn't. If it's usher to treat it as merchandise, it's usher to sell merchandise. If it's not, it's not. What's a lot, a little, who cares? I mean, what difference does it make? So, Josh, let's say Josh doesn't like this svara because it's a very not Josh-like svara. So good. So what would you want to say? What? But why? Right? What would the number represent for you? Right? Because you're not gonna tell me. Okay. So you could have said it's the commonly sold amount, right? The Ritva wants to wrap up the Rambam in your svara, and say no. Even the Rambam doesn't think that schora is usher for its own reasons. He thinks schora is usher because of achila. What does that mean? He says, or not usher by achila. It's, what's the difference? He says very simple. Yesh or mushadar rabbeinu zal, she'ein b'chal ma'asham v'tar lo'achla, ela shir achilo yom echad. Dahainu shalosh tu'udot k'mitzvat shabbat. V'yotr mikan schoruhu. V'asher b'chal adam. Right, he has the following, hava amina. He says, you know what the difference, you know what the amount is going to be? So in elsewhere in halacha, we have a shear of 3 sukkot, right? That's how much you eat in one day. More than that is business. Up to 1 day's worth of food is mutter. What's the ritual really saying? What's the line between business and not business? Exactly. If you're buying it to eat it today, right? Not to store, right? Not a stock up shop, right? I'm buying it for today, right? Lidugma, right? I'll try to put a language on what he's saying. When you go to a restaurant, right? Technically, you are buying food, right? But that, when you draw a budget, right? I know before I came to Israel, it was the first time I ever did that. I sat with someone, right, to draw a budget to just get an idea, right? Like, how much do you spend on different things? How much do you need to make, right? Because I had no idea. Fine. You have one line, which is grocery shopping, and you have another, which is eating out, right? Why are those different lines? Why do we relate to them differently? Because we all understand that when you go out to eat, you're not really going out. You're not, it's not like, okay, I'm budgeting my grocery bill for the month, and three of the meals I'm going to eat at restaurants, I'm going to subtract how much I buy at the grocery. Like, that's not why you go out to eat, so that you can buy less food when you go to the grocery. That's not how it is, right? You go out to eat because you want it, the experience, right? The ambiance. You want a break. You want a, right? You want a nice place to sit with friends. You want a nice place to feel like you're going to obviously get corona. I don't know. Whatever, right? Like, well, whatever the case may be, right? Going out to eat is buying food, and yet we don't relate to it as opposed to when you go to the supermarket, right? You're buying food, but this is, you're buying the food, right? When you go to the restaurant, you're not buying the food, right? And even, and now you'll tell me, okay, that's not a difference between quantity. It's a difference in context, but I would tell you there's a difference, right? So if, even within the same store, you can see the difference. So for example, let's say Benny, okay? Benny, our food guy, our caterer. He probably has a lot of people who buy from him on Friday. Right? Either because they don't want to cook for Shabbos or they want to cook less for Shabbos, right? We buy from him every day. The relationship that we have from him is different than the guy who buys from Benny only on Shabbos, right? Everyone understands that intuitively, and it's just a difference of quantity, right? Right, the people only buy a few things from Benny on Friday for Shabbos. We understand that they're getting a treat for Shabbos. They're trying to limit how much work they have to do on every Shabbos. They're busy, whatever the case may be. But for us, when we have a contract with him, right, how much he charges is different. Why? Because it's every day. This is a, right? It's not just a, but it's a different type of business. It's not that it's not business people buy from Friday. But it, we all understand it's different, right? Because if, right, and you can, it's evidenced by the fact that, listen, if somebody else only buys him on Friday, if Benny one day didn't sell to him, they'd go to a different store, they'd cook a little more, they'd survive, right? If Benny tomorrow told us, we're not selling you food, we would have to scramble, right? Because it's a different mindset. The point is that quantity does highlight the difference. And what the Ritva suggests for the Rambam, coming back to the Ritva, is that, listen, if you sell one day at a time, right, you're not relating it to it fundamentally as merchandise. You're not Rami Levy. You're not Supersol, right? You're selling someone, you're the cafeteria lady, right? You're the cafeteria person, right? You get, right? You're selling today's food, right? Yes, you're selling it, but the way you're relating to it as that which you're about to eat, right? But the second you start selling weeks on end, right? Then, right, it switches. This is not the cafeteria. It's not a restaurant, right? It's not the food stand. It's Rami Levy, Supersol, right? ShopRite, Sobeys, Mashiach, right? It's a different, and quantity does change that, right? So for the Ritva, right, for him it's a derivative of la'achla, right? It starts with la'achla, right? But it still comes pretty close to saying what Eli said, which is the point is you're supposed to relate to it as food and not as a commodity, right? I mean, food is a commodity. You're supposed to relate it to it as what you are eating rather than what you are buying, right? And that is a different dynamic. I mean, look, again, just to give you one more example where quantity does change perspective. We all understand that even in the same store, right? Why is it that they can get away with charging you three times the price for the Twix bar that you buy at the checkout counter, right? Then if you just go to the aisle and buy a bag full of Twix, everyone understands why. Even though you're in the store, right? There's what you're buying to stock up, right? And what you're buying because I'm shopping, I'm hungry, right? And therefore, they can even charge you more for it because, hey, it goes in a different bill in my head, right? This is what I'm eating now because I'm hungry, right? So the Ritva says that's what it is, right? That's what it means, right? Now, just one second. But then he rejects it. That's his hava amina. Ve'eno nachon. Said if that was the case, then why would we say you can only give three meals worth of food to an Am Aretz? You should say the same thing is true of a Chaver, right? If this was the right, because as we'll see later on, you're allowed to give up to three meals to an Am Aretz. He says if it was really the difference between Schora and not, right, then this is not about whether you're going to misuse it. It's an objective statement that you have to treat it for eating, right, which keeps it in the realm of eating and hefker and not merchandise, then it should be true. Am Aretz Chaver shouldn't matter, right? But at least his Havamina clearly is going in this direction, like Eli, that Tzchora is problematic, right? And therefore you need to remove it from Tzchora and move it to eating, to relating to it as hefker. He doesn't focus on the hefker. He focuses on merchandise versus an eating dichotomy, right? But you could have focused on the Tzchora versus hefker thing in this exact same fundamental model. Yes, Josh.
According to the Hobbes, you know, if you're buying like for people on your block, or if you're buying for, let's say, you're having a bunch of guests, would that be okay?
Yeah, presumably that would be okay, right? Yeah, right. Because right.
It doesn't have to be shalosh.
Correct. It's like the mon, right? You got a certain amount per member of your family, right? So yes, obviously, it might relate to it differently. If you, an 18-year-old yeshiva guy, right, the way you shop. Right? You know, you get some pizza, you go to the Makolet, you order a burgers bar, whatever you do, I don't know. Right? The way you shop is different than the way I shop. Right? Even if, right? And that's true across the board. That's true if we're eating out. Right? Where when you eat out, you're planning on spending 20, 30 shekel. Right? If I'm eating out with my family, even buying the cheapest thing, I'm planning on spending, you know, many times that. Right? So obviously it's going to change. Right, but what are you going to tell me? I go out with my family, right? Oh, I went out for, you go out for pizza, that's not merchandise. I go out with my family, oh. No, context matters, right? And quantity in context matters, right? So yes, you know, when my cousin, look, I tend to think, right, of a family trip is in a car and, you know, you go on a bus. You know, you go on a tour bus, it's a different thing, right? My cousin, when he has 14 kids, at some point had to rent a bus because there's no van. Even those big 15-seater vans are not enough to carry his whole family, right? Right? So he would rent a bus sometimes to, right? But still, it's his family. I mean, okay. I mean, you know.
Is it on the buyer then? It probably doesn't mean another
company. Haven't gotten there. We haven't done buyer-seller yet. Haven't done it yet. We're going to. Don't worry. Tosfot in Avodah Zarah quotes the Ri who suggests something similar. He says, "Omer Rabbeinu Yitzchak, das chorei shehi asura peretzvian ayna liknot harbei biyachad." The only thing that's asur on chorei is to buy a lot at once. Laholich miwakam azol lamakam ayoker, to take it from the cheap place and sell it high. Right, buy low, sell high. Ukimo shayu osin osvei shviat shepsule edut. Like as we'll see in Sanhedrin, people who make their whole business of it. Aval imhu loket limkor al yad liknot bo davar achila ein davar ze schora. V'yesh litein ta'am. Lama aser yoter b'shuk kishemamid chanut b'shuk doma yoter shemistakar peirot shviat. And then he says you might want to give a svara that it's worse, right, in a store. The Tosa seems to say two different things, right? So look, as bear rishon jemai Tosa maskir divrei dva. The first one sounds like the Ritva. If you're just selling enough to get food, so it's mutter. But if you sell in a business like a wholesale quantity. Ena yachol lishlot bekasha kesef yishamez rochachil bavad. Im navshich, right? And if you continue in the Rambam, you get more hints. Alach yid aleph. Halokeach lulav me'am aretz b'shvid. If you buy a lulav, notan lo etrog matan avim lo notan lo, he didn't give it to you, mavliya lo d'me etrog b'me lulav, whatever that means. Bamed varam amurim is manshi haya mocher perishikotan b'shomor. You go into Rami Chayot Ben. That's only if you sell the amount that you normally hold on to. Aval haya mocher perishikotan b'shomor in a hefker. But if it's the type of thing that you assume he took from Hefker, right? So what does the Rambam say? When is it also to do business? With the type of things that people store in their houses. And therefore you have to assume that the guy gathered a lot, put it in storage, and is now selling. But if it's the type of thing that people normally go to the field, buy a few, you know, pick a few, and then, you know, sell it off cheap, right? Then you're allowed to sell kedmei shalosh yidu bavad mishum kedaya shayachayev shom bocher. So what does the Rambam say? It's us. The Isser Schara only applies right, when is the type of thing that people normally store in their house. But if it's the type of things that people normally buy directly, take directly from Hefker, eat a few and sell off the rest, and they don't bother storing it, then it's mutter, right? So based on this, right? This is from buying from an amaretz, right? So, based on this, so one way of saying is that the focus is on achila, right? But the other way of looking at it is that it's not about achila, right? So one way of taking this Rambam is that the Isser is achila versus not achila, right? Achila versus business. But the second one is just to take it straight up the way Eli did, which was... The point is, exactly, if the type of thing you relate to is Hefker, it is, it's fine. And if it's the type of thing you relate to as merchandise, because you store it and you sell it and you have warehouses and stuff like that, then it is usser. Now, the piece of evidence for this is a surprising halacha, okay? And then we'll do a summary, which hopefully we'll catch Kobe up until now, is that the mission that the sugya in Sanhedrin says that one of the classic cases of psule edut is sochare shviat, okay, is sochare shviat, and there's a big machlok at it there. What does it mean to be a socher shviat? Is it anyone who sells it, or is it only someone who makes their whole livelihood off it, right? And then there's a further question, which is when the Gemara limits it to someone who's making his whole living of it, is that it's usser even to do less than that, but you still don't become possible eidot unless it's your only job? Or it's only usser if... Now, usually this is not where we bring that up. Normally, what I just said is the major machloket Rishonim about gambling. Right? Because the sugya there also invalidates people from being eidim if they gamble. Right? But what does the Gemara say? That you're only usser if you don't have a job, right? Like, this is your profession. I think exactly how we define it, we have to come back to, but fundamentally, now, there's a major machloket Rishonim. What is the Gemara saying? Is it saying that gambling is always usser, but you only become pasul edut if you do it all the time and don't have another job? Or is gambling mutter? It's just, as long as it's not your profession. What it hangs on is whether you think something called asmachta is, right, whether you think this is an asmachta, which is lokanya, right? An asmachta is the case where we assume, right, why would it be usser? Because it's theft. Because I decide to play poker with Kobe, and I just assume I'm a better poker player than Kobe, and therefore I assume I'm not going to really lose money, right? So then when I have to give him money, I didn't really mean I was going to give him money. He's stealing from me, right? That's why you would say it's usser, right? If you say it's mutter, you would say, no, what do you mean? I knew that I could lose, and therefore it's not stealing. It's just to do it all the time is pasnisht, right? This is a machloket in general, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, to oversimplify. That it's mutter, but not as your full-time profession, and Sfardim say it's usser, period, right? That's the standard. Machloket is Rambam Tosfos, right? But in that context, right? So the Rambam commented saying, who are the people who do business with Shviat? Heim b'nei adam sheyoshvin b'teilim. These are the people who do nothing else. The kevin sheba Shviat, and when Shemitah starts, postim day matchilim lisa v'litim v'erot. Right, he says, what is a sochar shviat? Someone who doesn't work the other 6 years and makes all his money. The second shviat starts, new profession. And he gathers a lot of fruit and does business. Now, the Rambam is very difficult here, right, for many reasons. But what you do see from the Rambam is that simply selling is not the problem. It's the context. It's making it your life and storing it and selling it, right? That's the problem. Which supports, right, I think the Eli interpretation, right? That it's not about food versus not food. It's about treating it as a business or treating it as I'm selling off things from Hefker. Okay? So, one of the most helpful things, by the way, in the Moreno is that they do interim summaries and then summaries at the end. So now we've seen the first three sheets. And look, they have an interim summary. So in case you're lost or you've been sick... Yeah, this is an interim summary, right? So now he says, Lissikum, right? So let's summarize where we are. I'm not going to read it through, but I will follow the summary, okay? So, Kobe, this for you is the summary of the first three sheets that we've seen, okay? We have a halacha. What? Yes, right? So the Gemara says, L'achla v'lo l'schora. Then the Mishnah tells you that if you, right, the classic case in the Mishnah is that if you want to buy an etrog, that's kadosh b'kedushat shviat, you can't. So the ideal is for the seller to just give you the etrog as a present. And if that doesn't work, then you rely on a havla, which you still have to come back and define, where you pay more for the lulav, and either you're allowed to pay actively for the lulav etrog together, right? Or you're allowed to not pay, in scare quotes, for the etrog, as long as I pay triple for my lulav, right? Well, that's where we're going to get to. Then the Gemara says that why is it? The Gemara says, why is it usher to sell an etrog? Gemara answers, because it's usher to give the money of the Yama Aretz, of the Perot Shviat to an Yama Aretz, which leads to the question, which is, what do you mean? The reason that it's usher to sell an etrog is because of the usher Schora, which led us to the Kryptonite Superman analogy, which is to understand Superman, you need to study Kryptonite, and we now have to figure out why does this seem to be a case in which you're selling something and nevertheless it's not Schora. And so far we've seen three positions, right? We've seen Rashi's position, which is that Isser Schora is the same as the problem of giving the money up to an Amaretz. Why? Because Rashi doesn't really believe that there's such a thing as an Isser Schora according to most positions. Very good, right? Because, see, Kobe wasn't even here, but now he's right, learning it, is because he thinks that there is no such thing as Sora. What is there? There's a chiyuv to eat / properly treat perot shviat. The only reason it's usher to sell is because you might lead to a situation in which that doesn't happen. And then we saw four pshatim within Rashi. The Pnei Yoshua says that the problem is, if I do business with perot shviat, then you might forget to do biur, right? The only issur schora is make sure you do biur. And therefore, the Pnei Yoshua goes as far as to say, any fruit which doesn't have biur, there's no issur schora, right? Or destroy or get rid of it, whatever it means. But that when it runs out in the field, you have to get rid of that which is in your house, either by destroying it or just reheftering it. For different fruit at different times of the year, when it runs out in the field. When it's not left in the field, then whatever you have left in your house, you got to get rid of. Okay? The Rimilu Nil goes even farther, and he says, yeah, if in fact you end up being Mavirate, then you didn't violate Perot Shviat, right? As Chorah with Perot Shviat. Then it Siv says, the Isser Chorah is a Geder. Not just for beer, but in general, as Kobe said. We're worried you won't treat it properly in all the different ways you might do it. But the common denominator, according to all three, is that Isser Schora doesn't really exist. Isser Schora is another way of saying there's a gzera that you can't do something that might lead to Peretz Shviat being mistreated, which is why we equate it with Ein Mosrin Dmei Peretz Shviat Haaretz. The only difference between Pnei Yeshua, Rimi Lunil, and Netziv is what happens if it doesn't end up being misused. According to Pnei Yeshua and the Netziv, you still violate, right? Because it's a gzera. You violate the gzera. According to Rimi Lunil, you don't even, right? The Ritva says no. The Ezer Sora is another way of saying there's a chiyuv of achila, right? And therefore he says the difference is as follows. When I sell Peretz Shviat, the only time I violate it biblically is if I sell it for something where the money will not become kadosh, because then I've destroyed the potential of utilizing either the fruit or that which comes from the fruit for achila. But if I sell it for money, then I never violate Schora, because the money can always be used to buy food. And therefore, if I buy it, sell it for money, the only thing that I violate is the selling it on Arid, because he probably won't end up using it for the right thing, right? According to all four physicians, Rashi doesn't really believe there's an issue of Schora. According to three of them, all Rashi believes is you have to make sure the Peretz Shviat are either eaten or treated properly, or that you are Mekayim Biur, and Schora is usur because you might not do that. According to the Ritva, Rashi is the extreme Ramban. There is a mitzvah of achila, and that defines everything. You're allowed to sell it if the money is going to be kadosh and be used for food. If it's not, then it's usur. That was Rashi. Tosvot is Reyerichom Fishel Perla. Tosvot says the only time that you can violate Schora is if the person who picks it is the same person who sells it. But if I pick it and Kobe sells it, then neither of us violated the Isser of Schora. Why in God's name would you say that? So the Rav says, because Tosfot holds like what we attributed to Richum Fisher Perla, which is there is no mitzvah achila, there's no Isser of Schora. There's one thing. In Isser of certain agricultural activities like Kitzira, and harvesting is defined. The type of harvesting that is usur is harvesting for improper use, for selling, for destruction, but not for eating. And therefore, if I pick it and then Kobe takes it and sells it, it's all good because my harvesting was defined as harvesting for potential achila, and he was just selling it. Selling it's fine. Where's selling usur? Selling is only usur if it reflects something back on the harvesting, on the picking. Right? So that was one daya in Tosfot. The third possibility is, no, Isser Schora really exists. There's really such a thing. I know this is crazy. We've been doing the whole thing of Isser Schora for 2 days, and now we get to the position that Isser Schora exists, which is the Rambam, who seems to say, you know, it exists. However, the Rambam says that it's only usher if you sell in large quantities and not in small quantities. So why would that be true? So Eli says, and this seems to be Pshat and Tosfot, the second Pshat and Tosfot, which is, the problem with selling is you're now treating it as if you are the owner, right? As merchandise, as you are the owner and not that it is hefker. And therefore, if I sell it in large quantities, I'm treating it as a commodity. If I sell it in small quantities, like the Rambam says, if it's the type of thing I normally store in my house and sell, then it's usur. If it's the type of thing I go, I pick it, I eat a few, and I sell off the whatever I don't use, then it's mutter, because even though I am selling it, I'm treating it as that which I sell from Hefker. Right? And that's mutter. That's one way of understanding the Rambam. The second way of understanding the Rambam, which is how the Ritva takes it, and Tosfot seems to take it as well, is no. The Rambam also thinks that Isser Schora is a derivative of Achila. But in what way? It's the different when you sell only the amount of, let's say, what he defines, the amount you need in 1 day. So 3 seudot. So then, even though I'm selling it, I'm relating it to it as I'm selling food. Right? Because someone else will eat it, not me, but I'm selling their meal for the day. That's mutter. But if I sell a lot, then it's merchandise. And the mashal I gave is the difference between the way you relate to going and stocking up at a supermarket and going to a restaurant. In both cases, you're eating food, but in one case, you don't relate to it as I'm stocking up. You relate to it as what? Yeah, but even a perishable item, right? There's a difference between, as I said, there's a difference between the Twix that you buy at the checkout counter and the Twix that you buy in a bag in the candy aisle, right? One of them you relate to, is that which I'm eating now? And one of them is I'm stocking up. And even with perishables, right? Even milk, right? Still, there's a difference when I buy milk for a week, right? And when I, you know, buy a little thing of chocolate milk to drink now. You're right, but that's not what it is for him. It's not about before Shemitah is over. It's, do I relate to it now as I'm buying? I don't know if it's being mavaza. It's that if, right, that's going back to what Ellie said. The other way to say, and this is what the Ritva says, no. If I buy 3 meals worth, then what I'm doing is buying my food for the day. That's fine. But if I buy a week's worth, even though, yes, I might, it will be eaten eventually, I'm relating to it. I'm acting like Rami Levy rather than as a restaurant owner, right? Something like that. Okay. Right? That is 3 positions. Okay? 3 positions, 3 models that we've seen. Right? Well, with multiple in-betweens, right? One is that Yisroel doesn't really exist at all. It's just about ensuring that it's treated properly with all its derivatives. The second is that Yisroel defines the context of the Ketzira. And the third is, right? Well, third and fourth, let's say, right? Third is, no, Yisroel is just, you're not allowed to act as an owner. You have to treat, you can't treat this as commodified things. You have to treat it as hefker, right? That's all it is, right? Or the Ritva, and this is how the Ritva understands Rashi and the Rambam in different ways, that Yisroel is a derivative of Achila, right? Right, which is, if I'm selling it as that which I'm going to eat right now, that's mutter. If I'm selling it not as that which I'm going to eat right now, then it's something other than eating, right? And that's usur, right? Well, no, because according to the Nitziv, there is no real usur at all. It's just you might end up misusing it. According to Ritva, it's not about misusing. It's about defining it as achila or not achila. Right. Right. Okay, let's stop there for now. What you'll see is the next thing on the sheet. Okay, but we still have a few things to figure out, okay? Here are the next 2 questions that he has, right, which I think are very good kryptonite ones. One is to figure out, does the Isser apply only to the seller or also to the buyer?
Maybe only to the buyer.
Okay? Right, that's one question that we are going to ask. And the second question is, going back to the sugya we saw in Sukkah, what is Havla'a exactly, right? Is it, as we saw, you're not buying it all, or you are, you're just not paying for it by itself? And does that indicate a yet another model of Perishvina? As we're going to see, yes, right? From the sugya of Havla'a, we're going to tease out yet another model of the nature of the Yisroel Svara, okay? Shkoyach.